Hey guys, it's Duke for the Self-Positive Podcast. This is, today we're going to talk about self-doubt again. We're part of this six-part self-doubt series. How to identify where your self-doubt lies, where it comes from. There's a lot of talk in psychotherapy how we need to narrate our trauma and like go back and find the root cause of things and then fully understand it, so then we can let it go, we can release it, we can do all that stuff. But there's a lot of contradicting research on trauma itself that makes it, it's okay. So the idea is that if you go back and you figure out where your trauma came from, and then you go relive it in your imagination, then you're going to re-traumatize yourself, and you're going to subject yourself to the same feelings over and over again, and you might be able to like set the ruts of the same trauma over again and burn it deeper into your mind. And so some of the latest research coming out about trauma is like you go back and you try to narrate it, it's not really going to undo a lot of the stuff. And I'm going to go into dark, deep detail on that in a few upcoming episodes. But when we're talking about self-doubt, we can dig up where we got ideas from that aren't necessarily trauma-based. If somebody told us something when we were a kid and we just sort of accepted the belief, then we can figure out how it served us then and why we believed it, and we can kind of just let it go nowadays because our situation and our context are different. That's what I want to talk about today. So this might be you. Some people, they did have self-esteem at one point, and then they lost it. Like, they were just happy-go-lucky badass kids, and then as they encountered the problems of life and they watched the people that they modeled, they kind of lost the self-importance in the world. That's kind of the fallen star archetype where Robert Greene goes through and says, you know, somebody's been given so much and experienced so much, and then they get out in the real world and they realize that not everybody loves them the same way as their social group did or as their parents did. And so they can lose their self-esteem that way. They can lose it. They can gain a lot of self-doubt by interacting with the world and having it not turn out the way they originally projected it. And then there's other people who never had self-esteem in the first place. I mean, depending on your childhood attachments, I mean, you might have it in spades or you might not have it at all. So each individual is different. But I find that clarity is the best way to get a handle on things. Like, if you understand why you think the way you think, if you understand what your core motivations are behind the behaviors that you do almost automatically, then you can really get to the root of the problem. You can make one small tweak in the, you know, dark annals of your brain, and it can ripple out to your behavior, to the way that you treat people, and have a profound effect on your relationships with people and the world. So however you determined, like, what happened to cause your self-doubt, you'll be able to overcome it if you can figure out where it came from. And it's just one method. There are other ways that I'm going to go through in a little bit about dealing with your behavior outside of your core motivations. But right now, if you understand that you learned something limited or you learned something wrong when you were younger, you can get over it pretty quickly because you're like, oh, that served me then. I was more vulnerable, I was dependent on people, but now that I'm self-reliant, I can choose how I react to things for myself nowadays, as long as I understand what the underlying thing is. So, we're going to break into that. One of the first possible causes of self-doubt for us today as adults are limiting beliefs that we learned in childhood. Fortunately, a lot of people learn to put off their dreams, limit their ideas, because their parents, although they were well-meaning, their parents, they're stuck in their own self-doubt. Like, you got to remember that when many of us were born, our parents were like barely out of college. Like my mom was 21, or sorry, my mom was 18 when she had me. My mom was 21 when she had me, and my dad was 24. And I'm looking back now, and I'm like, oh my God, like when I was 21, did I know what the fuck was going on? I had these beliefs about things. I had my own self-doubts. I had my own limits. And if I had a kid, I would have passed them on to my kids at that age, right? And my mom had a lot of influence on how I thought and how I looked at the world. And I learned a lot of my self-doubting beliefs from her and from that environment that I grew up in. You can get stuck not only from parental stuff, but like just in the community that you grew up in. Like for me, I was in the church, and there's a bunch of rigid structures and guilt and shame belief systems that were just propagated through the organization that I just kind of lacked the experience of the real world to bang my ideas up against. And every time I was given a chance to explore something that came out of my own brain, it got, you know, hard stopped by the religious structure around me. And so I grew up with that kind of thing. And a lot of the guys that I work with, and a lot of even the girls that I work with who were raised in that religious structure, like hard Catholic and like hard, like Baptist type structure, they have similar limiting beliefs that were just modeled and taught to them, but they didn't have any root in their own minds, right? And so much of what we do in childhood shapes us, and if we don't take really scrutinize why we believe the things that we do, sometimes that can just automatically run us. We have these programs that were just installed then, and they just run by themselves without us having any conscious awareness of it. So the self-awareness for that is going to be key to choosing your paths nowadays. Some of the other childhood beliefs that we get, it happens a lot in communities where people are born very poor and they kind of lack the experience of the richness of life that other people get. I grew up in a place that was just desolate, and like most of my, like all the guys that I hung out with in high school, they were all like gangbangers and drug dealers. Like that's what happened to them. My graduating class, like two or three people got out. One of them became a sheriff. One of them went to the Air Force. One of them went to the Marines. The rest of them were all just meh, you know? So, when I got out of the desert where I grew up, I came out to this kind of coastal city out here in California, and I set my life up here. And my mom, because she was really religious, she always had me go to private school no matter how much money we had. So I was always hanging out with all these little rich kids and stuff. And I got an entirely different depth of experience at the end of my high school age that I wouldn't have gotten back in the desert. And it really opened up a lot of opportunities for me just because I could see the world the way that, you know, these people saw it and be exposed to those types of activities and opportunities. So some people just don't get that. They don't get, they're just growing up in poverty the whole time, and they get all these limits kind of installed in their brains from the environment around them, right? Like, whoever your models are, whether it's your parents, whether it's your grandparents, whether it's your school teachers, your church elders, whatever, those people might discourage you from doing whatever the fuck you want to do when you're a kid because of their own limiting beliefs. So it rubs off on us. And that's why, statistically, most people don't break out of the social class that they're born into. The exciting thing to remember, though, is that some people do. And the reason they do is they're able to see and experience and envision the possibilities and then take action to see it through. But parents aren't the only influencers. Leads us to the second place that we could dig up where our limiting beliefs can come from, where our self-doubt comes from. And that's past experiences from bad relationships with people. Maybe not even bad, you don't even have to judge it like that, but from relationships that didn't meet our expectations. If you used to have a good self-image, and you didn't suffer from much self-doubt, but then suddenly over time you started to develop it, it's possible that you kind of allowed your past experiences, bad relationships, to get in your head and create the self-doubt experience. When you get into a relationship with somebody, a romantic or a platonic relationship with somebody, if you get in a relationship with them and then they destroy you self-esteem-wise by just putting their own beliefs out in front of you, it's really easy to believe them because you respect them, you have rapport with them, you're connected with them, and then they'll say something, you know what, I know something about you that you probably don't know, and this is what's really annoying about you, this is what you're dreaming, you're not able to do this shit. They'll be able to tell you that stuff, and because you have rapport with them, because you respect them, you'll believe them, and then that belief will come rooted into your mental system. And that's really fucked up, because they're able to install software that'll run you for years after if you don't take a critical look at it and then pull it apart and see if it's actually valid in your current experience. Seventh one is called Establish Patterns. Now, we were kind of talking about this already on the existing stuff, but basically, we don't like to go out of our comfort zone. And so if we've already established kind of patterns on how we deal with life and the things that we believe, and avoiding trauma and all that stuff, like if we've already established stuff, we generally don't move outside of it unless we're kind of forced to. Everything can be going fine or whatever, and then something traumatic could happen. Like you can get in a car accident, somebody could die in your family or whatever. And this might start leading you down a path of repeating bad patterns or accepting that your life is just going to be full of failure and you won't go anywhere. However, this is something you can overcome by changing your patterns. The process requires that you're introspective enough to be able to see the truth about yourself and your choices and your relationship and more about your life. You know, like self-awareness is super key, and that's what I'm always saying. But after you figure that out, then you'll need to be able to take decisive action that will help you start to experience success in your life, and you can build on as you overcome your self-doubt and start believing in yourself. It's a cyclical thing. So even now, there's so many reasons that you should believe in yourself. Once you start realizing that, this part should be simple. So let's talk a little bit about how to move forward. As you dig up your demons, consider that specificity can help us find holes. We can reframe with a variety of questions. So here's the exercises I want you to do in your journal today, right? First one, write down one limiting belief from childhood. The second one, write down one limiting belief from work or school. Right, so third one, write down one limiting belief from a lack of experience. And the fourth one, write one limiting belief from your environment or where you live or where you grew up. And the fifth one, write down one limiting belief from if you have any sort of anxiety. And then the sixth one, write down one limiting belief that you have from your established patterns. Write down those beliefs and take a look at them and see where they are limiting you. But more important, write a sentence or two on where they are limited. Like that belief only applies in this context. For instance, like if I have a limiting belief that I have a problem making money, which is something I've been dealing with lately. I have this belief that like everything I try, it always doesn't work out. And, I'm really good at my jobs and what I'm doing and the people involved, but I don't tend to make money. Well, I look at this belief system and I take a stock of all the things that I've done, and I made a shit ton of money in the past. My problem isn't really with making money. The problem is really with reinvesting the money in ways to make me more. It's kind of living paycheck to paycheck, no matter how big my paycheck is. And if I take a realistic look at my life, like that limiting belief is limiting me, but it's also limited. Like if I were to take 10% or 20% and reinvest into my business would grow faster and I would make more money. And knowing that provides the possibility or the opportunity for me to take action differently and move to the next level, right? I know that
next check I get from my company is I'm going to reinvest it into better marketing and better content development so that my company grows better. And if I just spend it on stuff, even if it's survival level stuff, I'll always be stuck in the survival level mode. And that's some fucking silliness. But the idea is that I had a limiting belief that I can't make money from my past experiences and my failed businesses. But it's really not the fact that I can't make money. I can drum up money and find customers and whatever. It's that I'm not properly managing the money, or I haven't in the past. I haven't properly managed the money so that it could continue to grow. I would just make money, I'd be okay, and then I'd lose all motivation, right? And that's the real thing that was limiting me. If I just believe that I'm not able to make money, then I won't make the choices to go get customers and to go push forward on stuff, which makes me stop things too early, which makes me fail. And so write down your limiting beliefs that you got, and then take a look at how those beliefs are limited. Get a couple of paragraphs in there. If you want to read over this stuff, check out the blog post that's associated with this. It's linked in the podcast show notes. And I will see you guys tomorrow for episode, I think, 4 of the Fuck Self-Doubt series. Episode 4. And, have a wonderful day, guys, and I will see you guys tomorrow. So the second way, the second place your self-doubt comes from is from bad experiences or bad relationships. So if you used to have a good self-image and you didn't suffer from much self-doubt, but then suddenly or over time started to develop it, it's possible that you allowed your past experiences and bad relationships to get in your head. And it starts to create the self-doubt experience. If you dated somebody who was super toxic, super narcissistic, or somebody who put you down all the time, chances are that you created a new belief system or sort of added new references to your limiting beliefs that came from childhood that set yourself up to be a much more limiting than you could have before. I mean, it could be like this person in a bad relationship doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It could be a parent, it could be a friendship, somebody you are romantic with. It could be your spouse, or even if you had a kid that was very strong and drag you down, and they can kind of create that new self-doubt in your life. These relationships, they're sometimes defined as toxic relationships, but that's a little fuzzy of a meaning, right? Like, toxic relationships can involve any type of relationship, relatives, non-relatives, you know, people you work with, whatever. And if you kind of break down the meaning of toxic relationship, it is something that retards your ability to function in a good or normal way, right? If you've been in a relationship in the past where a person criticizes you, cuts you down, takes your ideas out, and kind of tells you that what you're planning on doing is impossible, or if they tell you that everything can go wrong, they got that negative Nigel perspective where it's like, oh yeah, you could try that, but you're going to fuck it up or whatever, then you can learn self-doubt from other people, especially if you respect them or you buy into what they're saying on a regular basis, right? If you're in one of these relationships, I mean, obviously, it's a complicated subject, but it might be time to end it. It might be time that if you can't explain to the person what you're going to do, then without them taking you out at the knees, you may just need to end the relationship or set up boundaries so that you don't talk about that stuff anymore, because the more they continue to abuse you or create fear in your life, the more limited you're going to be, and you're not going to be able to move forward on the things you want to do. And obviously, we're talking about self-doubt here in something that takes out your ability to do what you want to do in order to meet your goals. And so if you share your goals with somebody and then they naysay it, or they're negative about it, or they make it seem like it's impossible, or they abuse you for it, that person or that bad relationship can severely limit your ability to achieve what you want. The third thing is bad work environments and experiences.
So at some point in your life, if you had a job of any kind that turned into a bad experience, especially if you started with your first job, it can stunt you for a lifetime if you let it. Sadly, many people, especially those who take service-oriented jobs, low-paying jobs, like you're working at McDonald's or whatever, you can end up with a bad experience because some people don't treat employees very well. Just like, especially the service experience. If you've ever been a server, ever been a bartender, that kind of thing. People can just kind of look down on you and, you know, for their own superiority or their own lack of understanding or empathy for other human beings, they can treat you like shit. And even some people who have higher paying jobs, they can allow the criticism to affect them so badly they develop a fear of failure. And that causes them not to take risks. And that's an insidious form of self-doubt, that fear of failure. We all have it at varying degrees with varying different, you know, applications of it. But if you're in like a high position, like I was a software engineer for a long time, and I was a really high-end engineer. It was what they call an architectural position, where I project managed a whole bunch of people. And the pressure of success against, you know, millions of dollars of budget and having people's lifelines on the line, like, you know, people with families who are your employees, like, it's high pressure. And you're constantly facing other people who don't like your ideas, usually because they want to champion their own. And that creates an environment where you can get second guess yourself quite a bit. Now you learn, if you're going to be any good at it, to, you know, be resolute in your confidence and, you know, take the responsibility for when things fail and all that. But if you're constantly getting assaulted by other people trying to make your ideas seem that they're not useful, they're not going to be effective, then you can internalize some of that stuff and create some self-doubt. You can learn the self-doubt from them. And, you know, if you get a bad job review, if you get somebody who, you know, gives you some sort of punitive strike on your record because you screwed it up, then, you know, that you might react badly and, you end up more stuck and, I want to, you know, operate within the rules and I don't want to fuck this up. And that's an insidious form of self-doubt, you know, that fear of failure. If, as you can see, this path can end up affecting you badly at the time and in the future as long as you keep limiting yourself. If you're not able to understand that sometimes bad things happen to good people, sometimes, you know, some things are out of your control, if you don't get that, then you can internalize some of that fear of failure and you think it's you, right? Or if you can't learn from your mistakes and you keep doing the same thing over and you don't do it better the next time and you don't prove yourself, then it can be a dangerous pattern to get into, and the self-doubt can grow, and your effectiveness can be shunted and limited, and you won't be able to perform in the future, and it creates this negative downward spiral that can really stick you for a long, long time. The fourth one is lack of life experiences. The fourth place self-doubt may come from normally. Some people just don't get it because they haven't experienced life enough. Sometimes a person can suffer from self-doubt simply because they don't have any experience. If you were overly sheltered in childhood, if you were sick or you had issues that caused you to not have a lot of experience in life, if you were like sheltered in the church or if you were, you know, always, you know, stuck at home because your parents were in poverty or whatever, like those types of things can have you not taste the world, not experience life. That can turn into fear and anxiety and like other problems like agoraphobia and other things that, you know, social fear, you know, social anxiety that can keep you from stepping out of your comfort zone and having new experiences and writing those new experiences that can expand your thinking rather than limit it. If you have no successful experiences to look back on, it can be really hard to imagine success. Like, you don't even have the mindset that can say, oh, I could accomplish this, because you don't have any positive accomplishments in the first place. If you've only experienced failure, then it can be really hard to envision success later. And so without that vision, it's going to be really hard to implement on. whatever the reason for these experiences, whether your parents are overprotective, you're sick or whatever, you didn't have a lot of, you know, out time, if you had some sort of undiagnosed mental illness, if you were super shy, whatever it is, it's causing, whatever it is, it's causing some bullshit, and it needs to be addressed, right? It needs to, you need to tear it apart and understand why it works so you can understand its limits so that you can step out and have small successes to start. You can start to experience life and then kind of know what it feels like. And once you know what it feels like, it'll be easier to move forward with it. The fifth one is, the fifth place self-doubt could come from is your environment. This is going to be hard to accept for some people, but where you're born makes a really big difference in how you view the world and your own place in it and your own potential in it. If you're born on third base, you can still experience self-doubt if you have controlling parents who see only one way that you can have success. They can limit you with their own vicarious expectations that, like, okay, even if you have all the money, even if you have all the resources available, the right networking connections, but the people who are giving that all to you only want you to do it one way, then you can experience a fear of failure against them, and that's all fucked up, because they get all controlling, a lot of their identities, their egos are wrapped up in that, and so disappointing them becomes a multi-pronged, complicated thing that can keep you from seeing an outside perspective. Like, an example of this is like a family business, right? Like if you're working for your dad or your parents or whatever, or your brother, and then, you know, you have to perform in a certain way. Well, it's got multiple ties. Like, it's not just like you fail at a job and then you don't, you know, make the money or you get fired or whatever. It's more like you fail at the job, you fail at the relationship, you fail at an identity, and that triples, quadruples the level of fear of failure, which keeps you from seeing other options and fresh perspectives. The add on to that, any sort of narcissistic or controlling people that are in that space, like if you, let's say you work for your brother or whatever, and then your brother's like super controlling and he wants to make sure his business runs well, and then it puts you in the subjugated position where not only are you an employee, but you have all these expectations from childhood as well, and it all stacks up, and your environment has a whole lot to do with what you can see that your options are. If you follow that through, you can realize that the environment's really fucking you up. Sad fact is that most people don't escape the situation they were born into. It doesn't mean you can't, it just means that due to the lack of vision, like, if you can't see the opportunities that are available, most people only know what's inside their own small portion of the world. I was talking about this with my buddy Mo last night. He's from Palestine, and he was talking about, you know, Palestine as a country and what, you know, the view of the Palestinian people is, and how that most of the world follow along with this narrative that they're, you know, lesser than people and whatever. And, you know, I don't have that experience. When I was in Palestine, I talked to some Palestinians and got their perspective, but I didn't grow up there. I didn't understand what their lives were like and what they went through. And the more and more I searched, the further and more alienated I felt like I became, right? And it's great building rapport and understanding people's perspectives, and that's why I love traveling and culture. But I'm certainly glad I wasn't born in Palestine. I'm certainly glad I wasn't born in India or Pakistan or some of the, you know, Middle Eastern Muslim countries, because my perspective would just be so different. Like, as I teach guys, you know, as know I'm a dating coach, I teach guys from all over the world. And when I go to India, I went on a 3-city tour in India last year or 2 years ago, and it was just amazing the mindset that they had about dating. Not because it was particularly wrong or whatever, but it was just so different than what I had come across. And these people didn't think that they could choose a partner based on romantic ideals, because their culture didn't really support it all that much. It's getting better, but as they were raised, like, basically their family's going to choose a wife for them, and then they're going to set them up, they're going to get married, they're going to have kids. That's how That's how it works. That's how it's expected. And it seems really, really alien to me, where I would want to go find somebody, qualify them against my own, you know, standards or whatever, and then, you know, spend some time with them and continue to go back and forth with feelings on a more equalist level. That doesn't happen out there. And it can. It doesn't mean they can't break out of it, but it's a lot harder to when you haven't seen models of it, you haven't experienced it for yourself. It can really limit your perspective and create a lot of self-doubt, because you can feel like your thoughts are just fantasy and they aren't based in reality when you don't have a strong structure of what's realistically possible. So just by listening to this, so I wrote this down first, you'll see it on the blog post. No matter what your situation is, you're getting your eyes open to the possibilities in the world that you can escape your circumstances and make the most of your life in a way that makes you thrive. That's a great thing. Like, that's why I believe in education so much. Not necessarily formal education, but constantly taking in new data, because it keeps expanding your perspective. It keeps showing you what's possible, and that can make a whole lot of difference. The sixth place self-doubt can come from is undiagnosed anxiety. Anxiety can be a symptom of self-doubt, but it goes in a vicious circle. I'm not talking about clinical anxiety. I'm not qualified, nor do I want to get into the depth of that. I'm talking about, like, general anxiety, where you're worried about things in the future, your future projecting. And it, basically, if you can't find a way to address your fears of the future, your fear of anxiety, then you can't really limit self-doubt, because a lot of what self-doubt is, it's uncertainty about future. It's uncertainty about projecting into the future what you want to happen. Like I said, self-doubt and where it limits your goals is the working definition of what we're talking about. And if you, your goals are always off in the future, right? So if you have anxiety, you're usually worried about the future, and those worries can be limits to your self-doubt. You might have butterflies in your stomach and not want to go up on stage to public speak or talk to that girl or let somebody into your life, let a guy into your life and take you on a date or whatever. Like, those things are normal. Like, that anxiety is normal. But if you can't get past it, then you start to live a lifestyle that's constantly in reaction to it. And that, if you're not pushing yourself beyond that feeling, then you just avoid the unpleasance of that feeling, which keeps you alive, but it doesn't keep you growing. It doesn't usually move you towards the goals of some fantastic, badass, amazing life that you wanted. There's a theory that adrenaline junkies see the same feeling as positive, and when they seek it out, whereas a person with anxiety uses that same feeling to stop doing something, it causes people who are kind of adrenaline junkies to take that action so they can feel it more. And that's just a perspective thing. It's what you focus on. And that's pretty interesting, yeah? If you suspect that you might have anxiety, it can be hard to get help. I mean, even by going to a doctor and telling them about it can also make you feel anxious. Like, if you have to go see a therapist, like, that can actually create more anxiety and cause more issues, because you might fear that they think you're an idiot, they might think you're silly. But if you seek it out, especially in today's kind of modern psych world, if you have insurance and you have psych visits on your plan, most of the intake procedures for psych is really affirming. Like, they teach us what they call unconditional positive regard. They have to have this look on their face and this way of speaking that makes you not, that doesn't flip your triggers at all. And so if you have issues about going to therapy and trying to figure out whether or not you have something that's a little bit more hardcore, definitely step into there. And if you don't find a therapist you like, fucking find another one. The main girl I'm dating right now, she had to go through like 7 therapists to find one that was perfect. But once she got one, it really opened up her opportunities for life. So it's important not to allow this to cause you to stay stuck in your current patterns, especially if your goals are beyond your current pattern goals. The healthiest people seek help, and even if they don't want to take meds or whatever,
there's some help to help you overcome the anxiety disorders naturally, too. You got to deal with your sleep and all that other stuff.